First off, I haven't totally lost my mind. I guess you saw where I normally write what the Sunday school lesson's about, but kind of partially lost it. So it's a little bit different lesson today that we're going to come on in, Joe.
Good. Yes.
You want a sausage biscuit ball?
Oh, no. Well, that's
it's
bacon wrap sausage balls.
So, Joe, I've got you something you can use in a sermon. That's my text this week.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Call the Grinch. Who's the Grinch?
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
We can't say it with you in here.
Well, I know who the Grinch is. And the story. Good to see y'all. Good class.
So, a few facts to start the class off with. And this are facts about the commercial Christmas that we celebrate each year, okay? It's just a few things, all right? Christmas ornaments. Y'all know where Christmas ornaments started at? F.W. Woolworth, who bought the first glass ornament from a German college in 1880, he bought $25 worth of glass ornaments and put them in a store in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They all sold out in 2 days. Fast forward 10 years later, 200,000 ornaments made from more than 6,000 recorded designs were sent to his store in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Christmas trees. The first documented Christmas tree in the U.S. was 1747 in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania also. At the Moravian Church, so that there was reported that a wooden triangle covered with some evergreen branches was put up. Santa Claus. Where did Santa Claus start? Early part of the 19th of the 20th century, Santa Claus, then known as Sinterklaas, Sinterklaas, was a spooky looking character. So what changed? Well, the person that changed it was Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola ads featuring Santa Claus first began in 1920 in the Saturday Evening Post. By 1931, Santa was making appearances in Coca-Cola ads, magazines. 1931, a more jolly Santa appeared in National Geographic, Ladies' Home Journal, and The New Yorker, and has been there ever since. Rudolph. Where did Rudolph come from? He wasn't born in a hemlock tree in a forest, right? It was Montgomery Ward's invention. In 1939, a book written by a company advertising guy by the name of Robert L. May, and drum up the red-nosed Rudolph. Originally, his name was Reginald, and it was later changed to Rudolph. All right. Black Friday started in 1961, again by the Montgomery Ward Corporation, and it was a paper written by them, by their public relations, said that beginning the day after Thanksgiving, they went from the red to the black in their sales. Cyber Monday started in 2005 by the Small Business Association. Candy canes. Candy canes started 250 years ago in Germany. It was rumored that a choir master in 1670 was trying to keep his kids sitting still and gave them all a recent invention of a candy cane to keep them quiet. Christmas cards. Christmas cards date back to 1843. The first commercial Christmas card was put out with Sir Henry Cole. All right, Christmas cookies. According to Culinary Lifestyle, cookies have been around for a long time. They really initiated with designs in 1500 as a gingerbread. It's the first ones. Wrapping paper came from Japan and Korea. But here in the West, wrapping presents in a pretty paper dates back to at least the Victorian era. It's a $2.6 billion industry now. The first known and written account of reindeer associated with the legend of Santa Claus was in 1821. The New York printer William Gilley published a 16-page booklet titled The New Year's Present to the Little Ones from 5 to 12, number 3, and it had the reindeer in it. Some interesting facts. I think that's been around for a few centuries if you've ever ate one of them. So we'll get there. All right, so that was commercial Christmas. Now a few facts about the biblical Christian story. So we're going to ask these questions as we go along. All right. Mary and Joseph. Did Joseph pick out Mary as a wife?
No.
More likely not. Most of them was arranged marriages. During the wedding, as their betrothal to the husband, it was probably an agreement between Mary's father and Joseph's father that they would be married. The dowry was paid to Mary's family because of the loss of a working member of the family. That's what the dowry's for. And that happened when there was betrothal, which is like the engagement period, which was typically a year long. All right. Mary, how old do you think Mary was when she had Jesus?
I've heard some people say that she was very young, maybe 14 or 15.
I heard 12 or 13.
The average age of a married, of a daughter, a girl getting married in first century to Jerusalem was 12.
That was right.
Oh, 12 years old. All right. Here's an interesting fact with that. Women betrothed and married in the Jewish culture was 12 to 14 years old. It's possible that proof of virginity was required. As a legally married woman, pregnancy during a betrothal period would have been considered a breach of the marriage vows and punishable by execution. The woman accused of it would have been stoned on her father's doorsteps. And so Joseph had a choice. He chose mercy more than justice. Rabbi considered the marrying age of a male to be 18. So probably there was about a 6 to 8 year difference in their years. The Bible calls Joseph a righteous man, meaning he was known for his uncompromising obedience to the Torah or the law of Moses. Right? So when he was faced with the opportunity for justice, Joseph chose mercy through, and you know, he had the vision through his
dream. Did anybody else discuss, was everybody else aware that she was already pregnant before they were married?
Well, there's, when I read this, a lot of people believe, based off of what you read, if you interpret a lot in the scripture, that she was actually hid during the pregnancy. Yeah. A lot of people believe that because it would have been.
Well, I've never been heard much talk about
the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Well, she stayed with her cousin. You know, it says that she went with Elizabeth, John's mother.
Yeah.
For what? Yeah. 3 to 6 months or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was up there.
That's Tony will do that to you.
Yeah. I saw on Facebook the other day, and I forwarded it. It was a thing. It said it was a baby in the womb that first celebrated,
first recognized
Jesus.
Yeah.
It says, think about that.
Yeah,
thought that was pretty.
Baby jumped whenever she spoke.
A couple more things. Joseph, what was Joseph's work?
Carpenter.
That's what most people believe. If you actually look at the Greek word for carpenter, it actually translates directly as craftsman.
He trained up Jesus.
He did. Mm-hmm. As craftsman.
Have you ever heard that probably he was more like a stonemason?
That's what I was fixing to say. Exactly.
Because there really
the houses were all stone and mud, so there was very, very little timber. Only the typical trees that made the roof of the house.
But when everybody referred to him, they would refer to him as, isn't this a carpenter's son? Would read that. That's why they.
It's an English translation that's messed up.
Carpenter's son.
When I first read that, I was like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's another mess up of the translation. All right. Bethlehem was insignificant. The city of David was considered small, insignificant among towns. King of Kings was not born in the holy city of Jerusalem, little town of Bethlehem. And that fulfilled prophecy in Micah. All right. So was there an innkeeper and was there an inn in the birth of Jesus story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the inn was full.
It said the inn was full.
That's the English translation.
Well, I'm not in.
How are you destroying now?
We got to start from the beginning.
the Greek word that Luke used for that's translated in is a Greek word called kataluma. Kataluma is the English spelling of it. The translation, the Greek translation for that is guest chamber. That's the exact same word that Luke used that's now translated as the upper room for Jesus's last meal. Exact same word. It's not the word that Luke uses in the Good Samaritan parable where he talks about the guy being taken to the inn. Totally different word that's used to translate. So this translate, direct translations, is in a guest chamber. And actually, the more than likely, Bethlehem, being the smaller town it was, didn't even have an inn, but being as small as it was. And usually what that's translated is that a lot of the houses were multiple floor houses. And the bottom floor was where a lot of the animals were brought in of a night because they didn't have nowhere else to keep them. And that area is like, there was no room in the guest chamber. So that's where it was at. It was more likely a crib. And, you know, most of the scenes we see now is a wooden crib, and they typically weren't. They were made out of stone, a lot of the stonemasons. All right. Wise men. The wise men were pagan priests. The Magi mentioned in Matthew were astrologers, most likely from Iran, skilled in interpreting omens, dreams, and stars. The Old Testament and Daniel, where did he spend 70 years? Who did he spend 70 years with? The Magi. You look at, that's where he was at. Probably more likely they traveled about 1,000 miles to get there. All right. Next question. How many wise men were they?
I'm afraid to say.
The Bible actually, doesn't say. It doesn't say. It just says wise men.
Because there were three gifts.
Right. Yeah. So did the wise man visit baby Jesus? No. More than likely, he was at least a year to 2 years old, which is part of the reason that a lot of people believe of Herod killing the kids 2 years and under.
Yeah.
Right.
It was 1,000 miles. It took them that long to get there.
Absolutely. Yeah. It did. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The gifts. Mary and Joseph were very poor. 40 days after Jesus was born, the couple went back to Jerusalem to dedicate their baby to the Lord. The proper sacrifice for purification after childbirth was a lamb. Do you remember what they bought?
Two doves, wasn't it?
Two doves. Indicated.
Two doves, two pigeons, or a lamb.
Yeah. Despite the impression given by many nativity scenes and Christmas cards, the Bible doesn't specify that Mary rode a donkey in, that the innkeeper turned him away. And it says Mary gave birth to Jesus the day she arrived in Bethlehem. That only happened while they were there, not necessarily the same day. The gifts that they had, a lot of people believe, was what financed their trip back and forth to Egypt. Last one. Jesus born on December the 25th?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah,
a lot of people believe that the shepherds only kept their only watched their sheep at night in the fields during birthing times, and that was in the spring. So where did it come from? Throughout church history, the date of Jesus' birth has been changed a lot. It was March 21st, April 15th, May 20th. The 4th century Christians agreed that they would take the date of Annunciation, which everybody agreed on, and that was Gabriel's announcing of Mary, as of March 25th. So they just added 9 months to it, so that's where you got December 25th. So a few facts. So now then, I want to change wheels on you just a little bit. And everybody in here, whether it's grandkids or nephews or kids or whoever it is, more than likely has read Dr. Seuss, right? So the text today is Dr. Seuss.
Is that what you've been reading?
It is. That's what it reads. I've been playing with too many toys. So here we go. Dr. Seuss, A Grinch Stole Christmas. And just when I read this, keep in mind the last few sentences that we're going to read as we go on through the lesson. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hasn't stopped Christmas from coming at all. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Then the Grinch thought of something that he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. So what does Christmas mean to us today? So Christmas has a wide variety of things for each and every family. It means family coming in that's not around much. Right? It means getting the kids together that live out of town. It means having family get-togethers. Dinners and eat too much, eat all the wrong things. But it has the bad side of it too. We read about suicides. We read about sad things that happen. It's a very depressing time for some people. But what has happened over the years for Christmas? So as I read that first part of it, if you look at Christmas today, Christmas for the majority of the people, I would say the U.S., we'll just use the U.S. for an example. You could use wherever you want to use to it. If you look at the U.S., Christmas is depicted by a Hallmark card or a Hallmark movie that all ends the same, right? Mm-hmm. You watch one Hallmark movie, you watched all of them, it's just different people, you know, in different settings. So why have we gotten so far away from this, all right? Christmas has become an excuse. The meaning of Christmas is slipping away from us. Have you noticed how and what the stores advertise this time of year? Stop by the local Hallmark store. Season greetings, happy holidays, generic winter celebrations, and good wishes. I always mess with people that I work with. You know, you hang up with them after a meeting this time of year, and I say Merry Christmas, and you can just hear the shudder on the other side. I love to do it with HR people. That's the funniest people to do it with, because they just get all up in a bind. I actually had one the other day says, yeah, back to you. So, and imagine if you're someone who never heard about Christ. What message would you get from what you see at Christmas? We need to put Christ back in the real meaning of Christmas, right? But where have we lost the realization of what Christmas is really about? We become like the wife who said to her husband, "This year, let's give each other more practical gifts like socks and fur coats." What's more behind Christmas? Luke 2:7 says, "Christmas is a celebration of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ." Jesus dropped down right in the middle of human history. He came in a time when everybody was busy, just like they are now. There's no place for Jesus fit in our busy schedule. Luke 2:10 through 11 says, "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. A Savior has been born to you." There's more about Christmas. "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care and hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads." Clement Moore continues on with his famous Christmas poem, "The Night Before Christmas." Immortalized Christmas elf, who we know as Santa Claus today. Santa Claus has become the central figure of Christmas, way outweighing Jesus as a central figure. "It almost wasn't Christmas," right? Remember that one? Santa doesn't believe that people care about each other, so he won't come. "The night they saved Christmas, Santa's workshop was being destroyed by explosion by men who were looking for riches and oil deposits. They believed they resided near the North Pole. If destroyed, no Christmas." Is that what Christmas is about? Maybe Christmas, I thought, doesn't come from Santa Claus. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, is a deeper cause. Have you ever wondered why we celebrate Christmas? Have you ever thought about that? Not why we do, but why people have no knowledge of Christ. We have no relationship sometimes when we look at Christmas and we look at it from the eyes of people who don't know Christ. Because the reason they celebrate Christmas is not the same reason we celebrate Christmas. And if you go and ask, there were several polls, tons of them out there, what day is represented by the Christian faith? Every single one of them says Easter.
So I was going to guess. That's what Bass will say.
Hands down, it was Easter. And when asked about Christmas, it was like, Well, yeah, that ain't really the day. And it's more so washed away because Christmas just has a different meaning.
When you think about Christmas, you think about Christmas trees and Santa Claus. And, I mean, used to Christmas at Christmas time, churches all around. We used to do nativity scenes and.
Well, and we used to have a Christmas Eve service.
Yeah.
Our midnight service every Christmas Eve.
And then on Easter, you know, you see the cross. A lot of churches put out the cross, you know, and the purple linen and everything. And I think it's kind of a message that we as Christians maybe send out. I mean, with Santa Claus and blow-ups and all that commercialism stuff and not the... We saw one. Yes, last night was coming out in Powder Springs, and we saw somebody... had in their yard, which is the first time I've ever seen this. Remember that? We saw they had a big cross in their yard and had it lit up and had Jesus
on
it. Yep, that's the first time I've ever seen. You remember that last night? We saw that. It's just a message. The reason people think that is the message that people send out.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah, it's the commercial. And there's not a commercial Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Randy loved that sign, Jesus is the reason.
For the season.
And he had that pen and wore
it all the time. At Christmas, God acted to save all his people by giving us Jesus to save us. Luke 9:10 says to seek and save what is lost. 1 Peter 3:15 to share our hope with others. The deeper cause of Christmas is the gift of God and forgiveness and restoration. Salvation found in Jesus is the real cause of Christmas. At Christmas time, we hear a lot about love, happiness, and joy. It's a time of year about heartwarming television specials, all of which center on the attitude of kindness, love, and sacrifice. These emotional stories always warm our hearts and cause us to remember the less fortunate among us. Even Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. Papers stuck together. Have you ever noticed that everything always works out in the end? The somehow magic of the season works miracles and everyone ends up happy. Is that how it works out in our true lives?
Nope.
No. Is that what Christmas is about? Maybe Christmas, I thought, doesn't come from television. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, is God's provision. Christmas is a time for sharing our joy, happiness, and goodwill towards all. But Christmas is more than those emotions. More than doing good deeds, more than exchanging presents, more than all feeling after the Christmas leaves us empty and unfulfilled. So I looked around for Christmas stories, just to show you how much I like stories. So I found this one. This is pretty neat. One guy wrote, he says, it's that this story is about a grandfather who found his grandson jumping up and down in his playpen, crying at the top of his voice. When Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached up his little chubby hands and said, "Out, Gramps, out." It was only natural for the grandfather to reach down to lift him up out of his predicament. But as he did, the mother child stepped in and said, "No, Johnny, you're being punished, so you must stay in." The grandfather was at a loss of what to do. So the child's teary, chubby hands reached out again and said, "Papa, out." But the mother's firmness in correcting her son must not be taken lightly. But he found a way. Grandfather could not take his grandson out of the playpen. So easily, quickly and not easily, the 85-year-old climbed in with him. That's pretty good. This is what God did for us for Christmas. He climbed in with us. Matthew 1:23 says, "Emmanuel is God is with us." That's what Christmas is about. God's provision for us is found in God's free gift of salvation. We who once were far away have been brought near. We who were lost are found. We who are in danger to the fires of hell have been promised heaven. We who deserve nothing have been given everything in Christ. Christmas is about giving, but only because the great gift is given us. And it's about God giving his very best, the giving of himself. That is where we find the true spirit of Christmas. Jesus' crucified and resurrected body is his provision for us. For it is out of that that we find what we really need. Every who down in Whoville, the tall, the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming at all. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, and bags. Then the Grinch thought of something that he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come in a store. Maybe Christmas, he thought, means a little bit more. So I know that's a short one today, but, you know, I wanted to just take some time